The Ten Commandments. Maybe you've heard of them. Maybe you have some feelings about them. Maybe you had to memorize them at church growing up, but you struggle to admit that you don't remember them anymore. These Ten Commandments have been a part of Christian education and faith formation for centuries. This story that Pastor Dixon read has even been depicted in movies. These laws have even made their way into our public and political discourse. The Ten Commandments can feel very familiar. And yet, because of their familiarity, because of the feelings and thoughts that we may have about them, it's easy to forget the people to whom they were first given. So I want to revisit the Exodus story that we've been going through over the past 2 months and place ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites to see what they may have thought and felt about these Ten Commandments. As you'll recall, the story of Exodus begins in Egypt, when the Israelites are under Pharaoh's rule and brutally enslaved. They were worked to the bone for decades. They had spent years crying out and lamenting their situation. Their world was filled with scarcity and competition, threats and fear. Their reality was one of exhaustion, exploitation, and corruption. This was all they knew for generations. Until, as you may remember, God took notice of them. God saw them in their suffering, and God came and passed over their houses, saving them from the plagues, led them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, and is now guiding them through the wilderness as they search for a land to call their own. Now, this sounds like really good news, right? They're finally free. They can do whatever they want. They can start over. But starting over is a lot easier said than done. How do you start over when you don't know any other way of being? Imagine how disorienting it would have been to not have someone ordering you around all the time. Who is our leader now? How do we know what to do? Who do we look for to guidance? Imagine looking around at all the people who you used to be slaves with and wondering how to interact with them. Are we friends or enemies? How do we work together? Do I trust you? Imagine carrying the lies of what Pharaoh has told you for decades and not really knowing who you are outside of what he said about you. My life has been defined by work. Who am I now? What is my purpose? The Israelites may have been freed from the physical location of Egypt, but they were not yet free from the grip it still had on them. And because of that, they had no idea how to live with one another. They had no idea how to set up a community. They had no imagination for a different way of living in the world. All they knew was Egypt. All they knew was bondage and slavery and oppression. That's why they complained to God a couple chapters ago about wanting to go back to Egypt, because at least knowing a bad world was better than living in an unknown world. These people had no idea how to live together. And I don't think we do either. Left to our own devices, we aren't all that different from the Israelites. We may not physically be living under Pharaoh's rule in Egypt, but we still think we are. We work constantly to the detriment of our well-being and our relationships. Violence and murder are just as present in our public spaces as they are on our tongues and in our hearts. We speak poorly of our neighbor, seeing them as a threat and competition. We think we don't have enough and go to great lengths to have more. We look to humans to save us from problems that they created. This is our Egypt. We live like we're still in Egypt, like we're still bound to Pharaoh's rules and oppression and lies. And look where it's gotten us. A country divided, families who struggle to spend holidays together, burnout and loneliness and anger all swirling together in a messy pot of cultural stew. We don't know how to live together. But I also know that we're desperate for another way. That we don't want to live in Egypt. We don't want to live in the world as it is right now. That it wears on us and fractures us and divides us. But we don't know anything different. We don't know how to start over. And that is when God shows up on a mountain and shows us how. God comes to Moses on Mount Sinai and gives God's people 10 commandments, 10 words. And these commandments aren't given to them to make their lives worse or keep them from joy and happiness. These commandments aren't given to be a new form of Egypt. Rather, these commandments are given as a gift to make their lives better, to offer them a vision for how to live together, to show them a different way of being in the world, to be concrete things they could start to do and stop doing that would design a community around love instead of fear, that would center their community around the God who saved them rather than the Pharaoh who oppressed them, that would heal the strained relationships they had with one another. When Moses comes down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, imagine how relieving it must have been for the Israelites. Imagine how good it would have felt to finally have something tangible to follow. Imagine how hopeful it must have been to know there was another way, that they didn't need to go back to Egypt after all. Because these commandments were now a blueprint they could all follow. They were community expectations they could live by. They were guidance on how to live well together for the very first time. Through these commandments, these formerly enslaved people were given a life together and a life with God that was centered around love. Not fear, not threats, not working to the bone, but love. Through these commandments, they were finally freed from the last of the bondage Egypt held over them. They were given a new future where they and everyone around them could thrive. Now, they didn't know how to do this on their own. They didn't know how to start over. So God showed them how. We don't. know how to do this on our own. We don't know how to live together. So God shows us how. God offers us the gift of the law, a law that is not restrictive or there to catch us in the act of sinning, but a law that frees us from our Egypt. A law that frees us to love God and love our neighbor. People of God, you are not in Egypt anymore. Pharaoh no longer has a say in who you are, or what you're worth, or what's demanded of you. You don't have to live like that anymore. Because the God of Israel has freed you from the bondage of a world gripped with fear, has freed you from all messages of unworthiness, has freed you from lies and threats and impossible demands, and God has freed you from all of it so that you and all of God's people may have life. And life in abundance. And when you don't know how to live as freed people, because let's be honest, Egypt is relentless, and Pharaoh's lies are impossible to forget. When you don't know, remember that God has shown you how. Remember the gift that God has given you. Trust in the one God who will always and unconditionally love you back. Speak about the God who has saved you in ways that free others. Rest as God has shown you how to rest. Respect those who have been called to nurture and care for you. Seek life for all people in all ways. Keep the promises you have made. Protect the possessions of others. Speak highly of your neighbor. Give thanks for all that God has given you. And give thanks for all that God has given your neighbor. This is the blueprint God has given us. This is how we live differently. This is how we start over. So may you receive these 10 commandments as the Israelites did, as a gift for the liberation of God's people. May you leave Egypt far behind, trusting that it no longer has a hold on you. May you live in the freedom God has given both you and your neighbor. And may you start over each and every morning, rooted in the baptismal promise of God's unending grace, and clear in your call of freedom to love God and to love your neighbor. Amen.